flash. And welcome to Beep Beep Lettuce Fuckers. What the fuck is up?
Hello.
Whoa, what's happening? What is that sound coming from far away?
We have sound effects now.
I was going to say, that's not edited in after the fact.
Yeah, my mixer was falling apart.
I can hear it with my
apart.
Ears.
It'd be funny if we hadn't gotten a new mixer and we just became really good at acting. Like we took acting lessons and we're like, wow, it sounds like it's really happening.
But I was still editing them in afterwards.
We were just like reacting to blank spaces of air.
Yeah. We're essentially podcasting in front of a green screen, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're a good SFX actor. That's why they should cast us all in the remake of Harry Potter.
Is Todd Harry Potter?
No.
Sure, yeah. Todd will be Harry Potter.
I'm not Harry
I'll
Potter.
Be Hermione.
Yeah, obviously.
Chris will be
Neville.
Ron. And John will be Neville.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm
John
Hagrid.
Is way too cool. Yeah, he's like a skinny Hagrid.
Neville's cool.
Yeah. Neville becomes cool.
I don't know these characters enough.
Yeah. I just know the fat drunk one. That's who I want to be.
Oh, yeah, Hagrid.
Hagrid is chilling. He's just like out in his cabin.
That's
like,
true.
Drinking all the time,
Hagrid
hanging out with dogs.
Vibes. Yeah, he gets in trouble for just doing like regular Wook shit. My boy's just vibing out there.
All right. I didn't come here to talk about Harry Potter.
I'm sorry. I was just
a
joke.
The two halves of Todd's brain are warring because one is like, reading is stupid and no one should read. But the other half is like, read another book, guys. So he's like, what do I say?
That's exactly what's going on.
Yeah. No one cares about that. But we did get a new mixer because Todd's old mixer sucked.
It really sucked. The sound
was
distorted in our headphones, and one of the channels was just straight up broken. So. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now we can do this all episode and you'll never get tired of it.
We only have three different sound effects because one of the sound effect channels John is Skyping in on. So see if you can count all three sound effects over the course of the episode.
Yeah. Yeah. But speaking of things I want to talk about, 60 Minutes this week did a hour long documentary on Jeffrey Epstein. And mostly about his death.
Monster
killer. You mean his death?
Quote unquote death.
Quote unquote.
I don't know. Honestly, okay, so a lot of things were revealed. Did anybody watch this but me?
I have not watched it yet. Please enlighten me.
No, please the biggest, explain it to me.
Do you want me to spoil the big reveal?
Go for it.
He had a mysterious needle mark in his arm.
That and his the wound on his neck was absolutely not from a cloth. It is a thin line at the base of his neck on like, it's supposed to be right under his jawline if he hung himself. But it's like, maybe all the way down. No, not in this.
So it's like indicative of strangulation.
It is indicative of someone's wrapping a wire around his neck. Mm-hmm. And then they show images of his cell on the day he was killed, and it's just like covered in sheets, like 50
really?
Different sheets.
Where
and
they're
then like,
well, I guess he had so many sheets, he must have used one of them to kill himself.
Yeah, and it's also like, and apparently there was also a medicine bottle, like multiple medicine bottles that he had in
That's
the cell,
song.
Which is like, he's not allowed. He's supposed to be on suicide watch.
Yeah, just insane. Yeah.
Well, he was taken off suicide watch, right? They were like, well, it's been 2 days and he hasn't killed himself. I think we can call it a day, folks. I think we can wrap this one
up.
Right,
but in most prisons, especially he's the fucking most high profile prisoner in the country, you're not allowed to have your pills with
you. I certainly doubt you're allowed to just have medicine hanging around your cell, any other prison or jail.
No, you're not. It's definitely not something, even if you're not on suicide watch.
And it was especially suspicious that when he asked for clothesline, they gave him piano wire.
I love that they're just pretending that the guards are like, yeah, he wanted to be comfy. He was a little chilly at night sometimes, so we gave him like 50 new blankets because they're kind of thin. You know, he's a skinny guy. He lost a little weight in the can, so we gave him some new blankets.
Right. And
you got to give Epstein what he wants. It's basically like having Martha fucking Stewart in prison.
And they they showed like what which noose was supposedly around his neck. It doesn't even have blood on it, but his neck is clearly bloody. Mm. It's like just a real slapdash job, and we were talking about it and maybe thinking, I wonder if they're just being messy because they know they can.
Yeah.
You know, if they're just like, we own you.
They know they're getting away with this shit.
We don't care. We're not even going to try to make this look like...
Honestly, kind of a flex, kind of a baller move for them to be like, we can kill a guy that is probably the linchpin of the most important criminal case of all time and make it look like a botched fucking, like...
It's clearly a hit.
Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, Bungler did it. He he bungled it.
Yeah.
Trump said he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue, and the rest of the ruling class was like, bet.
What about under Fifth Avenue in a jail cell?
You know what I'm saying?
You know, I gotta say, I miss Obama. When he ordered a targeted assassination on a threat to the ruling class, he covered it up good.
Nice. Yeah, so this was a pretty crazy thing, and especially because the 60 Minutes seems to come to the conclusion that, like, he was murdered.
Yeah,
really?
Which is pretty cool. She's like, this seems wrong. He also had, like Todd said, has a random, like, needle in his arm that doesn't, or, like, a needle wound in his arm. Also, like, big wounds on the back of his neck. Like, he was clearly murdered. Like, it's very obvious. But I will say... I know this doesn't make any sense. I know that logically he was murdered, but the body doesn't look like him. Like, to me, it just doesn't look like him.
The ears looked all wrong. Yeah, and those
ears,
the nose.
A couple of
people have been saying that on Twitter, that it doesn't look exactly like Jeffrey Epstein. It looks like a stunt double.
People are saying that the nose looks different, but it could also be that he just got bopped.
Right, they would have had to, like, really beaten him up. And I don't know. I don't know what the story is going to do, but it seems like everyone knows that he is not, was not suicidal. Everyone knows that he was, like, paying people in commissary to, like, for protection. Like, he was afraid he was going to get murdered. Mm-hmm. Like, he was not suicidal. Oh, also, he wrote a note. There was a note, supposedly, that he wrote.
Do we know
it? Scroll it down.
Yeah, show me.
I
killed myself.
What does it say? Oh, yeah, something. Oh, the person who was the guard, it's redacted. They blurted out for the show.
Oh, okay.
Says, redacted kept me in a locked shower stall for 1 hour. Noel, who I guess was the guard, sent me burnt food. Giant bugs crawling over my hands.
Whoa.
No fun, underlined, exclamation point, exclamation point.
Oh, man. Why does it have such Trump energy?
I don't know. Because they're like the best friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, Epstein, just another victim of the prison industrial complex.
Yeah, no fun, underlined. He also has the handwriting of a child, kind of. I mean, I have shitty handwriting, so I shouldn't talk. But, like, it's weird that this is just, like, this criminal mastermind, and he's just writing with, like, a pilot pen and some shitty... legal pad paper.
Yeah, Epstein was never the mastermind of anything.
Yeah, that's true.
He just did what he was told.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and like the needle hole has me thinking a lot too. Like whether that's Jeffrey Epstein or not, whoever it is definitely made some kind of deal so that he could be like real fucking high on heroin before he got strangled to death or something.
Yeah, another victim of the opioid crisis.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, maybe they just like thought it would be, you know, maybe they just injected him with something because it would be easier and he wouldn't struggle. How'd you do that?
I changed the sound.
Oh, wow.
On the fly? That's pretty crazy.
Wow. Yeah. DJ Todd over here.
Yeah, listeners, if at any point you hear nothing from Todd for like 10 minutes, you'll know a hot sound is coming up.
Yeah, catch. I went to a thrift store over the weekend and somebody had very specifically taken a 12-inch vinyl of Best of Bill Cosby.
Okay.
And I was like, what if I just started DJing this? Like beat matching between this and like a Tiesto record.
Yeah, he doesn't really have any musical stuff, but I guess he could just like use vocal samples.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, you just leave
the
crossfader right in the middle and just scratch the Bill Cosby samples over the beat. That's the only way to go.
Do you guys know any Bill Cosby jokes?
I saw like a Bill Cosby stand up a long time ago.
I used to love Bill Cosby when I was a kid.
He has that bit about like drinking and how it's like stupid to get so drunk that you're sick and like that's called having a good time or something. Remember that one?
Yeah.
I mean, he tells it a little funnier than that.
He has a good joke about.
I mean, he would have to. He's a comedian.
Yeah.
About giving women Spanish fly.
Oh right, where he just jokes about.
Did
the
he actually joke about that?
Yeah. On Bill Cosby is a very funny fellow, right? Speaking of jokers and Jeffrey Epstein, Ricky Gervais. I'm already regretting this purchase. Ricky Gervais was at some awards show where a bunch of people give each other awards for acting.
The Hollywood Handjob Awards.
The Hollywood Handjob Awards.
Is that the Oscars?
I believe
it was the Academy Awards.
Yeah. Yes. The Emmys.
It was the
Grammys.
The Razzies.
The Teen Choice Awards.
Oh, Todd, you watched the Teen Choice Awards?
Yeah, right after... after Ricky Gervais delivered his like stunning digs, he got slimed. And then Rosie O'Donnell came out and shot a blimp into the audience.
I'd watch that show. I'd watch that too.
But yeah, he actually, Ricky Gervais, noted idiot and Twitter fool who gets roasted all the time for his terrible opinions, hosted the Golden Globes. I'm reading it. It was called the Golden Globes, not the Emmys.
Not the Teen Choice Awards, as Todd hoped.
He said that he said to everybody, Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself at the Golden Globes. And then the entire crowd groaned, and he said, shut up, I know he's your friend.
Got him. I hate Ricky Gervais.
Got his ass.
He's such a stupid piece of shit, and he's like obviously such a part of the like elite media class that he's trying to like get brownie points for making fun of. But what he said was true. I can't take.
You cannot deny.
If he hadn't added the tag at the end of that, it would have been just like, it makes sense that Ricky Gervais just has the sense of humor of an edgy 13-year-old.
Right.
That's what it makes me think of is like we need to get all of these FedoraCorp like new atheist guys. Like, what if Richard Dawkins was an Epstein truther instead of an atheist guy?
Yeah, the first truther where it's actually the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So shout out for and the only time to Richie Rich.
Yeah.
Gervais.
Remember that Macaulay Culkin Richie Rich movie? It's a fun time.
I do remember that movie. I remember they like have to go into the fucking Mount Rushmore. It ends on Mount Rushmore.
I forgot about that part. I only watched it as a child. Probably to escape from bad guys or something.
Yeah. Good job bringing that up with no bit to go with it.
Well, I just remember that happened.
Thank you for your movie review.
I'm just here to save these.
Listen,
bits.
I was just setting up a topic of conversation, and then you guys could run any way you wanted with it.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, no one chose to run with it.
You guys remember Twins with Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger? Quick, Todd, play a sound effect.
Good one, Jod. Thanks for bringing that up.
Good movie. I liked it. While you're here, listen to my other show, Generation Lost.
Okay.
We talk about movies.
That's it. No plugs. I can mute you.
All right.
I'm just phoning
you. You could have
in.
Always muted me.
I'm fucking phoning in this episode.
I know. Why don't you actually do a joke?
Yeah, do a bit, Todd. Yeah. For fuck's sake.
All right. So
we just got new information on Epstein, and you can't muster anything
up. What if instead of Ricky Gervais, it's Sticky Gervais, and he never cleans up after he comes?
That's what he already is, though. That's Ricky Gervais. You think that guy?
Yeah.
You think that guy's wiping up after he comes? He's just like, that was a great orgasm. That's what he's like.
Even if there's nobody in the room, he just laughs at it like it was a joke and then expects applause.
He simply debates his erection in the free marketplace of ideas.
Toilet, I don't care if you're fucking offended. I'm going to come in you anyway. I don't even care if you're offended. That's what your base says.
All right. Now on to real news. So, also in the news this week, Iran. Remember that happened?
Mm-hmm. We talked about the only thing in the news.
Yeah, we talked a lot about Iran on the bonus episode, and we're going to talk about Iran again. Basically, to catch you up, if you're not a Patreon subscriber, Donald Trump possibly drone striked the leader of the Iranian Revolutionary Army named Mr. Soleimani, killed by Trump's orders. And it came out later that the Pentagon was confused that Trump went for this idea.
They gave him like three options.
They
were like, we'll give him the two reasonable options, and then we'll give him the third crazy option where we literally murder a foreign general with a fucking drone. And he'll never choose that one.
Right. Why wouldn't he? He's a reasonable man. Well, everything that we know about Donald Trump is that he's a reasonable man.
Very calm.
Who cares a lot about and isn't just... you know, getting revenge for being dunked on Twitter.
So the Pentagon called this shot. Like, they gave him three envelopes, and they were like, this is the one where you just randomly kill a guy, and they didn't even put papers in the other two.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
So most pundits were considering this to be an act of war, a war crime, mm-hmm. just terrible decision on every level.
It seems to violate both international law and U.S. law. Like, because the Geneva Convention has said since the 50s that you can't assassinate, like, a leader of a foreign government or, like, military or whatever. And then I think there's also, like, an executive order or something from the 70s that says the president can't assassinate people, basically. And Trump was like, oh, whatever. Who cares about that?
Right.
The American justice system. You gotta love it.
I think the summary of the take that we had from the bonus episode is basically that liberals freaked out about this because you can't say Obama did something bad. You can't say killing someone was bad and illegal and you shouldn't have done it, because that kind of implies that killing Osama bin Laden was bad and Obama did it. So they had to be like, well, Trump did something that wasn't tactical and Soleimani was an evil person who deserved to die.
But that's oh yeah, they're like starting World War III was a real fucking faux pas.
Yeah, very exactly.
Am I watching politics or did I get a ticket to Cats?
But even that's a terrible take because it's like Obama drone striked, like, not just like Osama bin Laden was a drone strike. It was like a bunch of SEALs and they lost an entire helicopter doing it, like,
supposedly,
like, yeah, they beat him up with a 9-iron.
Like, the people that Obama drone striked were far less guilty than Osama bin Laden. Mm-hmm. Like, also, like, this is insane because Trump drone struck this guy without a trial or anything. Like, even
it
if
it seems like it, we don't know for sure.
Even if, like, you know, if for the sake of example, like, the United States brought this guy towards some sort of, like, you know, fixed trial, like, you know, like they do to the people they keep in Guantanamo Bay, where it's like, you know, it's rigged and shit. Like, at least give him a chance to stand trial. I mean, even if it's rigged, but no, they just fucking killed him.
Well, the thing is he didn't do anything. Like, I mean, he was, yeah, like, there was war. Like,
yeah. Well, he was on his way to a series of meetings with people who were, like, quote unquote, anti-American instigators, which is like, if you're an Iranian public official, that's probably most of the people you spend time interacting with politically.
Yeah, I mean, he was on his way to de-escalate tensions, quote unquote. Like, he was on a diplomatic mission. So it's like, he wasn't even doing anything. So it's like, pretty insane. And Iran has really come out in support. There was a video of a 40-second long video of what looks like either a drone or a helicopter flying over a whole road that is just full of Iranians in what looks like the largest fucking funeral I've ever seen. People are mad.
There was the entirety of the Iranian legislature just shouting death to America.
Hell yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
You love to see it.
And then the Ayatollah stole my tweet saying when we say death to America, we mean Donald Trump, we mean John Bolton, we mean American's leadership and American's system. We have no problem with the American people. Hell and yeah. I was like,
fucking clout chaser.
Please retweet me, Jesus.
But yeah, that was awesome because it's like Trump, like, no one in the U.S. foreign policy machine has any concern about, like, killing citizens in other countries. And so for them to, like, make a point of being like, we're not trying to kill everyone in
America.
We're
not even saying we're going to kill civilians like America. We're saying we're better than you. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to do that, but we are going to kill your government.
And they hacked...
To which I say... Iran said as a parody after that, right?
Yeah, and I say I agree. As a parody.
Monster.
Yes, exactly.
But they also... They hacked a website belonging to the Federal Depository Library Program with a picture of Donald Trump getting just hit in the face with a fist labeled Iran, and he's bleeding from his mouth, and there's a message in Arabic saying... With his departure and with God's power, his work and path will not cease, and severe revenge awaits those criminals who have tainted their filthy hands with his blood and the blood of other martyrs, referring to Soleimani.
I can only hope.
Wow, this image of him getting punched is so awesome. I gotta say, the way that the blood is just dribbling down his chin, his like rotted teeth, they picked the right photo of him. It's very smartly done propaganda.
Yeah,
I was gonna hijack a website, I'd be proud to put this image.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one of the very best political cartoons.
It's great job, Iran. It's the top tier label meme.
Oh, you shouldn't have told me that this was a political cartoon, because now I can't understand what the objects in it are without labels.
Well, the fist does say Iran.
That's true.
But happening over an overlay of a map of the Middle East.
Oh, you're right.
Syria's over there.
But how do I know what Donald Trump is, right? The fist is obviously Iran.
So,
does Donald Trump symbolize?
We can assume that Donald Trump is the Donald Trump, president of America, but what is the blood?
Yeah.
I love these sound effects.
Yeah, they're pretty strong.
Todd's having a blast.
Yeah, in America, so once this happened, basically, America reacted as if they were the aggressors. Like, they basically went to a small... Basically, America is a large boxer. Conor McGregor walked up to a skinny man and then just like crushed his head in and then is like crying and being like, we have to prepare for them to strike back.
Yeah.
And it's like,
he's like weeping in the corner. It's like 10 9/11s just happened to me.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it, because now they are fucking arresting people at the border.
Mm-hmm.
They have arrested. And I want to say the New York Times, I put the MiddleEastEye.net article about this, but the New York Times did report on this, saying that the U.S. detains more than 60 Iranian Americans at the Canadian border, but they made sure to say, like, American citizens, because that is how we think about it, because if they're not American citizens, fine.
Right.
Like, it's fine if
that happens.
Yeah. If they were Canadian citizens, it'd be fine, or if they were just visiting America, it'd be fine.
Like, if you're white and you're crossing over from Canada into the United States, like, even if you're not an American citizen, you're going to have a pretty easy time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But these are Iranian Americans, and so they're getting detained at the border going into Canada.
Yeah, I'm coming down to buy blue jeans, eh? Yeah, the blue jeans up in Toronto are real expensive. Yeah, coming down to do that.
Yeah, just riding a snowmobile.
I was going to go up there and get some of the good poutine, you know, while the snow's still not too thick on the Ontario Bay. But I'll tell you what, the cheese curds weren't too good this season. Couldn't hear much a squeak when they squacked on my teeth. So I went down and I got a beer cheese soup at the Walgreens, like you do.
Yeah, but now that Trump's killed Soleimani, I think I'm still going to send it.
What are you, silly? I'm still going to send it.
You're too fucking good at that, John.
Yeah, he's from Michigan.
Yeah, that's like miniature Canada. It's yeehaw Ontario, is one of my friends likes to say.
Yeah, but, you know, just immediately just doing more crimes and, you know, breaking international law. You know, America sucks so hard.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I mean, like, this kind of stuff is what was being, like, teed up, basically, as soon as the attack happened, where, like, I think Mayor de Blasio was saying this, that it's like, well, there's no direct threat to New York. NYPD will be vigilant. And like, I think the mayor of LA said the same thing. So it's like, basically any cop in America is like, okay, cool. We're supposed to go after Iranians.
Yeah.
And then they just like,
yo, Billy de Blasio has put me on the anti-terrorism beat. I'm supposed to monitor Twitter for tactical hashtags.
But yeah, so, Iran, has responded, like I said, coming out in full force in support of Soleimani, but also doing pretty cool stuff like putting an $80 million bounty on Donald Trump's head. Yes! God,
and I saw a bunch of different things going around on the internet talking about how that's like fraudulent or taken out of context or whatever. I don't give a shit. It rules. I believe it.
Listen, I don't think it's illegal or problematic for me to say I would like $80 million. And so I'm going to try.
Yeah, no, but in a completely unrelated context, yeah. Of course.
Right, you're going to try to make a tech startup and make $80 million.
I'm going to try and get $80 million.
Yeah.
You're going to make
There's nothing wrong with saying that in and of itself.
Some options have appeared to me recently in ways for me to get $80 million in American cash.
Mm-hmm. Right.
One of these not having to do with any of the things that we just talked about or anything I'm looking at on Twitter, but I'm going to try.
Yeah. You have like a new porta potty idea. Like you have a smart porta potty that checks your cell phone to let you in.
Right.
So you can maybe like swindle some money out of that somehow.
Yeah. I bet they did this because they know how much Americans love The Mandalorian. And so they were just like, you know, I bet Americans want to be cool bounty hunters.
Oh, I like that.
Oh. Is that what The Mandalorian is about? Because I might actually watch that.
Yeah,
you know how much I love Cowboy Bebop.
So pretty soon, Iran's going to be posting Baby Yoda memes, but it's like Baby Yoda sipping the tea, and it's just like, you know, President of the United States is pretty problematic, but that's none of my business.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
they'll be like, if you want to keep him safe, you will find your target. Oh yeah, be the Mandalorian you wish to see in the world.
This Get is NPR head. Morning Edition.
Just having fun.
Yeah. I'm here for Iranian Baby Yoda memes. I just want to start like photoshopping Baby Yoda into memory TV screen caps.
If you are Iranian and you're listening to this, please make Baby Yoda memes about how you want Donald Trump's head on a stake.
Yeah.
Tell him he suffers from mental retardation again. That was a great arc. That was my favorite Iranian-American relations arc.
Yeah, so you should be like the DPRK and call him a dotard.
Such a funny like boomer insult. Like it doesn't really sound insulting.
No, it's they're doing the Sound of Music, right? It's like dotard. Dotard.
Dotard.
The
deer tard.
Is Ray, right?
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
So it's do, Ray.
Fa, so, la, to,
do. Do, Ray, tard.
I can't, you know, you don't want to say that.
I didn't say that. That was your bit.
All right. Simmer down.
Okay, so that has all been happening. If you want a little more detailed and less insane take on Iran, please go to our Patreon and listen to a more reasonable episode we did about Iran. But that's what's that's the updates, is that the U.S. is doubling down and arresting Iranian Americans and just being terrible all around.
Yeah, it's a fucked situation, folks. We're only so giggly because we're trying to make up for it.
And we just got this new sound effects. Yeah.
Just a really, really poor timing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have happened. Donald Trump, please step down and kill him. But
man,
we're going to have to bleep that.
Yeah. No, I can tell him to kill himself. I can tell anybody to kill himself.
Yeah, if the president does it, it's not illegal. That's what that means.
That's
if
right.
If the president
that's
kills
true.
Himself, it's not illegal.
Yeah.
It's not
that's
illegal.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, other things that are bad that American has done. Venezuela tried to do a coup last year. Big, big, big story in 2019. America tried to oust Maduro, the regime dictator, bad man, Stalin-looking
Bully.
Guy.
Mustache man.
Did everything wrong. And
Daddy.
That, yeah, also, cool guy. We love him. All jokes. Maduro is cool. But today, the National Assembly president, quote unquote, this is how NPR is referring to him, Juan Guaido.
That's how insane this is. Like, Juan Guaido thoroughly washed in his like coup
Incredibly
attempt against
washed.
Maduro.
Yeah,
pathetic
but
showing.
Every single major media outlet in the United States and even around the world is reporting on it as if he is, they're saying things like National Assembly president or the rightful president of Venezuela. It's insane.
Yeah. It's really crazy it's because just last year, like, I feel like maybe this is just my like perspective, but like, I feel like newspapers were saying like he ran away with his tail between his legs, like shitting out his own ass, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like he was
kind
like,
of, yeah. Yeah. He had no power, no influence.
There was that picture of him like on the phone with his mom.
Yeah, being like, mommy, come help me. I'm trying to be president.
He had like
he's literally a fucking he's a fucking King of the Hill antagonist, except they're not supposed to come back for another episode. It's supposed to be a one-time deal.
Yeah, yeah. So, but for whatever reason, he's now supporters of NPR's reporting, supporters of Venezuela's Maduro try to seize control of legislature. So I don't know why that they think that he's always had control of legislature.
Right. Well, so I think what had happened is that Guaido was basically equivalent of like the Speaker of the House or something. Like he was kind of like the leader of the like National Assembly, like the Speaker of the House or something similar. And like this, they were holding an election to like elect a new one, and basically the National Guard just like stopped Guaido from getting in because he was trying to get in and like get reelected as National.
But
Assembly
he never
leader.
Ran.
Well, he never ran as president. He was like elected. I think it's like he was in the parliament and then or whatever, and then it's like a role like Speaker of the House where it's like the body elects you. The National Assembly, leader. He never ran for president at all, which they say he like ran against Maduro in this article. It's really insane.
just flat out lies in this article.
But basically he was like trying to get in, and like rightly, if someone tries to stage a coup and destroy your country from the inside, they're not allowed to be in the parliament anymore.
There is literal evidence that is reported on by mainstream media that he was bought and paid for by the CIA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like that's not it. That's not conjecture anymore. Like we know that for a fact.
No, it's just an open secret. It's something that they can just omit because, you know, 90% of news readers don't remember things.
Yeah.
The news cycles.
It was last year. Just because it was a different decade doesn't mean that we all forget.
No, that was a decade ago, Bryn. And I got to say, look, you know, I love an underdog story. Look at him climbing over that fence.
Yeah.
In his powder blue suit with his little bow tie and his little giant lollipop with his Jerry curls.
So funny. Yeah. 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 The video of this happening is hilarious because he's just like trying to climb over a fence that, like, as John said, is not even that hard of a climb.
Yeah.
But he's just, like, pulled back down.
That's an easy fence.
There are people on both sides of the fence trying to pull him down.
Yeah.
You could literally just jump on top of those National Guard guys and, like, crowd surf across them or whatever, get pinned. But you could easily make it over the fence. Like, the reason he didn't make it over the fence is because he was scared. Let's be clear about
that.
Yeah,
because he's a puss.
Well, and it was really scary. His suit got ripped. Can you believe that he tried to foment a coup and destroy his country and they tore his suit?
Oh,
Chris,
baby.
But you haven't told me, who was he wearing?
I don't know. Probably someone expensive.
Important question.
Yeah. Yeah, and also hilarious. So he tried to get in and failed, and then the National Assembly elected a new leader, and then Guaido and a bunch of his like supporters in the like National Assembly like met somewhere else and had a fake vote and were like, oh, we actually voted somewhere else, and Guaido is still the leader. So congrats, Guaido.
That's like, no, they just met up in a fucking Waffle House and they're like, yeah, dude, you got it.
We did it.
I'm the president now.
This is like literal like fucking schoolyard shit. Like this is children having a fucking like Guaido and his little fucking children supporters. They're like acting like they are like warring with a rival faction of children on a playground, and those kids got the good swing.
Yeah, it's this, basically it's the greasers and the soches. Yeah.
I don't like musical theater, so I don't get these references.
It's The Outsiders. It's a book.
Yeah, Stay Golden, Pony Boy. It's also a movie.
Literally no idea what you're talking about.
Todd hates reading. He got assigned that book in sixth
grade.
It's
a movie,
and he was
too.
Like, no, fuck off.
You just proved your credibility, homie.
It's all Italian. That's why.
Kudos to Todd right now.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Todd tried to watch it, and he was like, what? There's no non-WAP characters? I can't watch this shit.
Yeah, fuck out of here. The real Bechdel test is whether more than an Italian talks to another Italian about anything other than gabagool.
Which does happen in that movie, which is why you hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so America continues to... I mean, America has like a lot more problems on its hands right now. So it's funny that like they've just given up on Venezuela because it's like, well, shit, Iran is happening. There's a lot more oil there. So we are cutting funding to Guaido.
Like
who cares?
6 months ago, there were huge natural gas deposits discovered in Iran.
Mm. Yes.
Like that was a news article that was kind of swept under the rug. But if you think about it, like, that's absolutely a reason that the United States would go in and try and, you know, do regime change to make the, you know, government more friendly to big business coming in and mining those natural resources.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Well, that's always what it is, isn't it? It's always oil or more recently lithium, like in Bolivia. And fucking Mexico just discovered vast lithium fields. So, you
very
know,
scary.
Here's hoping the United States doesn't try to disrupt Mexico's government next.
Disrupt it like it's Silicon Valley?
Disrupt.
Yeah.
disrupt Mexico's burgeoning new metal scene. They discovered lithium.
the Nirvana song? Yeah. Because sometimes you got to feel normal. But they've just kind of stopped caring. I feel like it really feels like they're just not putting a lot of attention. They're just like, yeah, try and fucking hop the fence, idiot. We don't care. You didn't do it right.
It's so funny to imagine him like texting his handler afterward and was like, dude, this didn't even work. And they're like, what the fuck is wrong with you, you pussy? You just jump over the fence better.
You know what that fucking was? It was a photo op.
Yeah.
It was a photo op that went south because he just looks like an asshole.
Yeah.
He's far enough up on the fence to jump the rest of the way over it. He is standing there posing with his arms he's doing like portraiture poses on top of a fence. He's trying to appeal to libs. And you know what? It's fucking working. And that's the worst part about it.
It always works because they are fascist too. but another place that their, coup kind of worked, but is starting to not work again is Bolivia.
Yeah. That rules so much. This is my favorite because apparently not only is there a whole region of Bolivia, the Chapare region, that's like not even allowing police and the military in, but they polled the Bolivian people, and the movement towards socialism, the MAS party that Evo Morales used to head up before he had to go in exile in Mexico, is still the leading party with 20.7% of the vote. And only 15.7% of citizens are willing to vote for the coup government. So that's like not a small margin. Yeah, it's a wide margin. It's a big lead, especially in as pluralistic of a system as Bolivia's political climate is.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. It seems like not a very well thought out coup, honestly, if you're just like, well, we're going to make the president leave and then we're going to put in a new one, but then just like have another election. It was really popular when they voted for a socialist before, so probably it will be again.
Yeah.
It's just another symptom of the ruling class being really lazy. They're all so old and so rich, and they have been for so long and so syphilitic. They just don't have much brain left.
I know what we can do about that.
Get her ass. Yeah.
By 2021, Todd will be communicating entirely in sound effects.
I'm just gonna have like 5 catchphrases.
Eat my shorts, man.
Cowabunga, dude.
Say the line, Todd.
What is the line?
From that Simpsons episode?
Yeah, what does he say?
I didn't do it.
Oh, okay.
Don't have a cow, man.
I don't really watch the Simpsons.
I don't think that's right.
I'm too young.
It's too edgy for your taste. Like, you know, it's not Christian enough.
It's not Christian enough.
No, but realistically, like, the reason that we talk about Bolivia, we talk about Venezuela, when, you know, of course, we talk about those things when I'm not busy playing with sound effects, but is because you're not going to get the kind of, perspective on those from even NPR these days. NPR, the news outlet that your boomer parents think is the most liberal news imaginable,
if they're liberal,
is calling Juan Guaido the legitimate president of Venezuela.
Yeah, or at least a legitimate leader of the National Assembly or whatever, a fucking tool of the CIA.
All of these news outlets are saying, like, you know, they're parroting exactly what the State Department wants them to parrot, because No news outlet that is like funded by millionaires and connected to all sorts of state apparatus, aspects is gonna. They know what side of the bread they're buttered on.
Mm-hmm. Try right? again. Yeah.
They know what side their bread is buttered on. But you,
they
know, you guys
which know
what
bread
I'm saying.
Their butter is sided.
Well,
on.
I mean, NPR is literally state media. Like, it's national public radio. And the fact that people, I mean, the fact is that America is better at hiding their like state media because they think that's sort of like a problem. Like, they don't like, unlike Britain, they don't think that having state media is good. Mm-hmm. They think it's you know, we got to have freedom. So like,
well, NPR, and they make NPR like fake woke and contrarian a little bit to the mainstream media outlets to generate a little bit of like fake friction. So that there can be a centrist narrative that everybody kind of gravitates towards.
Right. Well, they make it be this sort of like apolitical, we're just journalists, you know, but it's obviously they are not allowed to question the imperial line, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they might be like, well, Republicans want this and Democrats want this, and that's, you know, the news, and NPR doesn't have an opinion on that. But they're literally not allowed to be like, the entire U.S. state hegemonic apparatus wants war with Iran, and NPR doesn't. Like, they're not allowed to do that.
But that's the problem
that's
is
the way
because
the Congress crumbles.
The problem is, like, you know, NPR, if it was truly like a government funded media, like if it was actually state media, I honestly think they would have more freedom because there's less oversight when you don't have to grovel at the feet of billionaires for funding, because most of NPR is funded. It's funded, but in part by viewers like you. Right. Mm-hmm. So the way this shit works, right? NPR, specifically NPR shows, right? Every year they got to go to their billionaire sponsors. They have to send emissaries over, right? And they go and say, like, how much can we put you down for? And that's why when they do a funding drive, they say, oh, so-and-so with the so-and-so foundation is matching this much money. Meanwhile, that person made their money off of, like, blood diamonds or, like, yeah. selling fucking, yeah. like, cruise missiles to, like, I don't know, fucking Saudi Arabia or something. But they're woke because they're donated to NPR. So they're not really state media. NPR is basically as corporate as any other cable news source. It's just different. It's mm-hmm. it's a 501c3 or whatever. So the rich people that donate to it are able to write off that expense. So it's an even bigger racket, but they're still beholden to exactly what their donors, their sponsors, the big money billionaires want them to say. And if they step too far out of line, they won't get that funding renewed next year.
Right. Yeah,
well, absolutely. let me find the contradiction in your argument and deepen it. If the billionaire funders that they have to go to control NPR and the state, then it's still state media. Yeah. It's just Whoa. The worst
yeah.
kind.
Oh yeah. No, no. I mean, like,
exploding brain.
Yeah. You got my ass.
Yeah, you're right. We just have the worst state possible.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, speaking of America and it being stupid, Business Insider wrote a very strange article.
Oh, yeah. This article rules.
Called "There Are Two Types of American Millennials," says an expert who studies the generation. And the difference between them is not based on their age. And this is by Hillary Hoffauer. It came out January
4th. There are
4th.
Two types of American Geminis, says an expert who studies the generation. And the difference is not based on the day they were born.
So, yeah. So this an article, expert who studies astrology.
This article yeah. is incredible because they come so close to actually, you know, it's like very, it's well, so close.
Yeah, well, let's see where they're coming from. There's a picture that says, is captioned, "Are you a megalennial or a millennial? There are two types of millennials," says a generational expert, a grifter. "Millennials and megalennials. Two parts of the generation are defined..." Well, let's skip all the recap.
Who the fuck is a generational expert?
Yeah. "Do you feel like a typical millennial who's overwhelmed by financial struggles? Or conversely, do you feel like you don't fit the stereotypical millennial mold at all?
How much money do you have?"
No, that's don't not what we're saying. Alert, we're not, that's not what we're saying.
No, no. Do you feel like a typical millennial?
That's either it. Way, you're not alone. Jason Dorsey, this is the guy, a consultant researcher of millennials and president of the Center for Generational Kinetics.
Oh, right, my pause. Fucking God.
What does
this
that
is
mean?
This is the economics version of those people who have like shows where they go to haunted houses and try to find like spooky noises.
Oh, yeah. This is yeah. Zach Baggins.
Okay, so I opened up the Center for Generational Kinetics. All right. First off, that sounds like just like a really creepy way of saying intergenerational porn.
Okay.
Generational kinetics. What it really is a just, you know, web 2.0 or 3.0 fucking like consulting firm that teaches gigantic corporations Ooh. How to market to millennials and Gen Z.
It is that.
That is what this is. Fuck.
I don't know why my mind didn't immediately go to that, but of course it fucking is.
So this psycho...
Consulting with advertising.
This guy who's writing this article, just to put this in perspective for you, the guy who's about to tell you the difference between the two major types of millennials runs is making... six figures at a fucking company that teaches McDonald's how to sell you fucking Rick and Morty sauce.
At least.
Yeah.
So this is literally just like dividing up between the millennials who need like advertisements for dental insurance and the millennials who need advertisements for Ferraris.
Micro targeting.
So this crazy person said that he told Business Insider there are two types of American millennials. This generational split, he said, has nothing to do with age. Parentheses, millennials will turn ages 24 to 39 in 2020. Rather, it's associated with life paths and stages. He coined two terms to describe each of these cohorts. Millennials are floundering financially and might feel lost in life. Whereas megalennials are ahead of the game.
Let's just talk about
what
how
the fuck
the
are
fucking,
life paths
what he named
stages.
What he named these categories, it's like, oh, the people who are suffering, they're selfish. They're all about me.
And then you have the Megatron types who have ascended into a robot form and are just stomping through the world.
Yeah. While megalennials and millennials come from the same schools and towns, as they get older, they see themselves further apart from one another as one group moves forward with their career and aspirations, while the other group feels like they're not making the progress they imagined they would at this point in their life.
Okay.
Millennials are struggling to find their place in their careers, finances, and life direction, Dorsey said. He likened them to late bloomers. Mm.
These fucking millennials must have slept in on the day they were handing out bootstraps. Am I right, my fellow bloomers?
Yeah. Wait, so millennials are bloomers and megalennials are bloomers and millennials are doomers.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah, this is literally just a rage comic breakdown.
The culprit in how long it's taking them to get on their feet is the affordability crisis.
Oh my God.
That's certainly one really stupid way of putting it.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. All right? This fucking bullshit. This is fucking... It's
hilarious.
It's class.
So wait,
it's fucking class.
Yes, we know. What I wanted to point out is the affordability crisis links to a different Business Insider article written also by Hillary Hofauer called 2019 is the final class of millennial college graduates. Next up, the Great American Affordability Crisis, which is also completely brain dead and stupid.
More like Hillary bad taker.
More like
writer.
More like Hillary.
It's more like that. It's even
it
more
is,
like it than the way
it's just
I said
like
it.
That
it's exactly
actually.
Like
yeah.
That.
So the affordability crisis was triggered by the ongoing fallout of the recession, rising living costs, and increasing student debt. Many millennials entered a tough job market post-recession. They had difficulty finding jobs, and those who did experience stagnant wages. Initial income loss early on in a career ultimately laid the foundation for a slow path to wealth building.
Mm. I hate when I'm slowly building wealth. I want to quickly build wealth.
Yeah,
it's so boring to build it slowly.
There can't be there can't possibly be any like statistical predictor of which types of millennials are better at building wealth. Like,
impossible.
Purely, oh, there is.
Purely meritocratically, of course.
Listen, Todd, if you watch Pokemon as a kid, you're going to build wealth. If you watch Digimon, you're not. But also, secondarily influenced by what house your second moon was in when you were born.
Gryffindor.
So if you're a rising Gryffindor with Gemini characteristics, and you watch Sailor Moon as a kid, you're never going to be successful. I'm sorry.
Damn, that's classic INTP.
While millennials overall have benefited from a 67% rise in wages since 1970. Wait, what? Millennials benefited from a 67% rise in wages.
This is incredible. They say a 67% rise in wages, and that increase isn't enough to keep up with inflating living costs. So what they're saying is, actually wages have gone down. But we're saying, we're framing it as millennials have benefited from a 67% rise in wages.
Well, right.
They're saying psycho like shit.
The wages have gone up that much since the 70s, but when were most millennials born? Like, I was born
the
in 1991.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, like 80. I wasn't even making wages until the mid-2000s.
Wait,
I don't
hold
know
on.
What the fuck they're talking about. If that's 45 years later.
If you're a millennial who was 35. Born before 1990, you're technically a boomer.
That's not true.
No.
That's made up.
You're millennials.
I feel like Gen X
look,
and,
only 90s
and
kids
millennials
will get this.
Bleed into each other
90s
in the
80s. 90s kids means you grew up in the 90s.
90s kids literally just means you had pogs. That's all it is.
but this
you used Napster when it first happened.
This sentence is written so weirdly that I didn't understand it. But yes, they're saying that there was, since 1970 to 2020, there has only been a 67% rise in wages. That obviously we know has nothing to do with inflation. It's terrible. It's stagnant. That's yeah. completely stagnant.
Inflation,
and
inflation
also
is 3% every year.
And also 1970 was before any millennial was even born. Yeah. A decade yeah. before.
I'm sure they had to pick, they had to go back that far, because if they said like 1980 or 90, it would be more like 40%
or
increase
20%
or something.
Yeah. Or so, not a fucking wage advance at all.
And
well,
just
the thing is,
regressing.
It's not a wage advance. They're framing it that way.
Right.
But the, yeah. if the cost of living goes up, if inflation outstrips the fucking increase in wages, then it's not an increase in wages.
It went
it's,
down.
Yes.
It's so. An insane way to start your sentence. It makes yeah. no sense.
Well, and like, what's cost of living anyway? Like, my dad always argues, he's like, you know, the price of a loaf of bread hasn't gone up that much. I'm like, how about a fucking loaf of house?
Yeah.
Yes. So multiple studies show that millennials have less purchasing power than previous generations did at the same age.
No.
A doy.
Oh my God.
As evidence of millennials' dire financial situation, look no further than skyrocketing college tuition, which has more than doubled since the 80s. The average student loan debt per graduating student in 2018 who took out loans neared $30,000. Such debt makes it hard to save money for things like retirement and housing, the cost of which has also climbed.
I got a pro tip for getting rid of those loans.
That's
soundboards.
That's yeah. right. It, yeah. It's a combination of factors that have left behind many millennials financially. Dorsey noted that many of the millennials he and his team interviewed said they haven't yet found a path or feel they're not in control of their finances and life direction. They really feel like they're spinning their wheels, yet getting older. He said, Dorsey anticipates they'll be, quote unquote, just fine.
Oh my God. Karl Marx is spinning so fast in his fucking grave right now, it powers all of London, and they now have no carbon footprint.
Yeah, millennials are getting older. They have no prospect. What he really means is, oh, they're spinning their wheels, but they'll be just fine. It's because he anticipates that their spirits will finally be fully crushed, and they'll accept that they're fucking proles, and they're gonna work till they fucking die.
Yeah.
Or worse, he thinks if these fucking millennials would just go to the right business acumen seminar, they could finally get over their fucking shit and get out of their mom's basement.
But that it's just taking them longer to feel like they're progressing in their jobs, career, and personal finances. Then there's the group of millennials who don't feel they quite fit this story. Dorsey dubbed this group with the mega prefix for the outsized advantage they have over millennials.
I wonder what that advantage is.
Wait. It's almost like they got a head start.
Almost?
He said of millennials. They've been working
like
and doing normal work-related stuff, but often are not getting attention for
what
it.
Can you guys still hear me? I just threw my laptop across the room.
Why does that sound like a computer-generated work drone said that? They're working and doing work-related stuff and also doing human stuff like haircuts and bars and the weekend, and yet they're not getting money.
Look, many millennials go to their job at the business store and spend all day doing long and hard business, but don't get ahead. Certain other millennials spend all day at a different business store, and they seem to be getting ahead just fine. What's the difference here? Well, one of these groups of millennials, what is it?
They got a head start.
They got a head start.
Yeah.
They're mega.
What's this head start?
These
millennials,
survey.
They go to the fucking post office, but these megalennials with this head start, they go to the goddamn Kinko's.
Oh. doing what's
Stamps.
The Eddie Murphy Raw, but with two types of millennials.
You know, millennials are like this. Okay, a recent survey by Insider and Morning Consult found that millennials overall think they're doing better than their peers, indicating that the situation on the ground for some may be better than we believe. According to the survey, 56% of millennials think their finances are somewhat or much better off than others in their generation. Meanwhile...
What? Why aren't you just checking their finances? Why are you asking them how they think each other? Hey, millennial, do you think that your friend's Instagram posts are more or less inspirational than
That's
yours?
That's basically just saying, like, do you have empathy? And only 46%
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
Only 36 think they are somewhat or much worse off. And only 35% of millennials think they have more debt than their peers, while 48% think they have less debt.
Yeah, it's too bad there's no way to actually check how much debt people have. You just have to go off these weird gut reactions that aren't based in anything.
Yeah, it's not like Equifax's entire shit leaked last year.
You know what all this shit is because of? It's because nobody actually, like, everybody's afraid to share with their friends how little money they make and how mm-hmm. much debt they have because mm-hmm. they're yeah. afraid of being the one that has the most debt and makes the least money. Right? Talk to your friends. Find out how much money that you're all making, and then it'll put it in fucking perspective. If you think that you're not keeping up with your friends, and you think that, oh, you know, I'm somehow, like, it's my fault that I'm struggling. Everybody's doing so much better than I am. Ask your friends how much they make. Ask your friends, maybe, you know, go find out how nice of a house your friends' parents have, right? That'll put it in yeah. fucking perspective for you.
Mm-hmm. When asked how they would rate their financial health, which is a weird question, only 37% said not very good or not good at all. This all goes to show that though things may be rough for the generation, the reality may not be quite as bad as the story they're told. This is really interesting because basically we all know everybody who thinks they're in the middle class.
Right. Yeah.
But 37% saying that admitting that they're not in the middle class, basically admitting that they're poor,
right. mm-hmm.
is really
yeah,
high.
Yeah, it's enormous. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
so high.
Are like, yeah, not good at all.
They only asked millennials, like, ask boomers these same questions. Ask right. some Gen Xers these same questions and check the fucking statistics you get back on that. Because I bet, like, less than 15% of boomers think that they're doing worse than everybody else around them.
Oh, and guess who just became the largest voting bloc in the country?
Us.
The generation, a third of which know they're not doing as well as they could be because the system is stacked against them.
Right.
Ooh, I smell a socialism coming.
I smell a fucking socialism.
Is that a socialism brewing?
And people want to run fucking buddy gig and Biden.
Dead. Yeah,
get
dead
fucking
in the water.
Get
yeah, go fuck yourselves.
Yeah, Mayor Pete is just a megalennial. That's yeah. the
you
real
need
thing.
To turn that thing into a slam firing gun because you cocked it so many times and no bullets came out.
Okay, last two paragraphs.
Bump stop for that.
All right, we're almost done.
Research has also found that despite their reputation for being difficult, entitled, and spoiled.
Oh, fuck. Oh, go fuck yourself.
Millennials are actually optimistic and resilient hard workers.
You know what this fucking scumbag is referring to when he says being difficult and entitled? Millennials that want a union.
Workers' rights.
Yeah. To your boss, yeah. when you want better working conditions, when you want a higher wage because you can't fucking afford to live, that's being difficult and entitled.
I agree. Mm-hmm. It is. And you should stop
yeah,
asking.
Maybe you
for
just
it.
Don't want to get yelled at by some bald fuck whose adult children also hate him. You know, there's that too.
So technically Bryn is the manager of this pod.
That's right.
And she will not let us unionize.
I won't.
Because she thinks we're spoiled and entitled.
I'll stab you with these scissors.
Why are those scissors there?
I don't know.
I don't know why I left them there.
Business Insider's Libby Kane previously reported that they are hard workers.
Cool.
Perhaps there's a link to that. Who cares? Perhaps that's why this part of the generation doesn't identify with the term millennial. According to Dorsey, they feel they don't match the negative stereotypes, such as the often touted sense of entitlement.
Since when is millennial something you like identify with or not identify with? Like, I thought the whole concept is that it's like it describes a generation, and then it's like, well, of course, every generation is very distinct, so you can describe everyone with simple terms. Like, is millennial like being a Gryffindor now? Like, you actually just yes. pick if you're a millennial or not?
Yeah.
Dorsey said the distance megalennials feel from these stereotypes is the most talked about part of his sub-generations concept simply because so many millennials relate to it. They feel someone has finally recognized them and that they don't fit the typical millennial meme.
Fuck you.
So you know
that's
what?
Fucked.
You know what I just realized is that basically this guy has identified the fact that they can sell products to a specific type of millennial and mm-hmm. that they shouldn't be pandering to poor people.
Yeah.
They should be pandering to the people who are rich and actually going to buy their premium luxury yeah. products. Mm-hmm. And so that he had to imagine a narrative that is not the normal times, you know, the me generation bullshit. And he's mm-hmm. like, we can't call them poor, lazy, entitled pieces of shit. We have to find the ones who are rich. So what's that narrative? What is the narrative of people who are rich? And the answer is, well, I'm not like those other millennials who are the poors.
It's just but that's also repackaged meritocracy thing. Bullshit. It's the same argument. It's like, oh, rich people deserve to be rich because they worked that much harder than you. Meanwhile, the biggest predictor of whether you're a millennial or a megalennial is whether your parents were rich, whether you have generational money. Every fucking person is working hard, right? All the millennials are all fucking working hard. The ones that aren't working hard are the people that this guy says are the fucking megalennials, the ones that are doing the best because they just fucking inherited everything. They had everything handed to them. Meanwhile, the people that are working their asses off, they're not getting anywhere because they don't have that generational wealth to set them up for the future. So they're not getting anywhere and they're vocal about it and they're getting painted as fucking entitled millennials. Fuck you.
Yeah, when literally it's like the opposite of entitlement. They're pandering to the fact that like everybody sees themselves as a hard worker, and probably the poorer you are and the more you have to scrape to get by, the harder of a worker you actually are.
Yeah.
But then to go around and call those people entitled and to have it come from the mouths of the most entitled people from their respective generations, it's just an incredible amount of insult to injury.
Yeah, these people are scum, and if you write an article like this, you should have all your wealth taken away and you should be forced to live the life of a millennial that wasn't born into generational wealth.
Well, you can tell her about it at Hillary Tweets. She has 600 followers.
I was talking about the consultant guy that works for the like firm that market, like that guy should, you know, have to fucking walk a mile in like a working class millennial shoes.
Oh, yeah. I want that guy to live in an anarchist co-op with like 15 white kids with dreads for like 6 years and not be able to move and not be able to have his, it's like he has to live in the common space and he has to do
instead
more
of a gulag shit. You have to live in this skate park.
Oh man.
Yes. That is a good punishment.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thoroughly mad, but I had a lot of fun with the sound effects.
Pretty good. Yeah, it was a great time.
Good time. You know, we'll get better at them. We won't overdo them. Maybe we will.
The problem is
episode
over
one
here.
All over again. Mm.
If you didn't like them, yell at Todd on Twitter.
Yeah. Add us.
Whatever kind of comment you leave it as a Apple Podcasts review. It really helps people find the show.
That's right. Very true. Thank
That's why we brought them back, because someone left a review that said, bring back the sound effects.
That's
hell
true.
Yeah. We listened
to
our fans.
Literally just for that
if
person.
If that exact one person, you know, doesn't listen to this episode,
it was all for nothing.
We're going to find you and we're going to fucking Clockwork Orange that shit.
I'm going to be playing it outside your house on a boombox.
You can say anything. Yeah. We'll find you and then we'll end the show because it'll be your fault. Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening to BB Bledis. Like John said, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts because it really helps people find the show. Please follow us all individually on Twitter as well as on other social medias everywhere at BP Belief. Check out our Patreon. This is a regular episode. And if you'd like to hear more, again, better takes on Iran, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/BP Bledis and hang out with us on Mids Posting on Facebook. And we will see you in the Discord. Bye.
Keep beeping.
Beep on. Keep beeping. Todd, you want to give us one more sound effect?
Oh, yeah. What else we got?
Bye.
All right.
Beep on.
Thank you.
Bye. All right.